All right, you little nail-chewing cretin. Your time has come. It is on this day you will revel in my superiority and crawl back to your sleeping drawer with nightmares of my greatness in tow. Ha! 3 harpies! That means you're on dishes and laundry this week.
Not so fast, 2 chins. 4 gorgons. Stone sweet, baby. Boom goes the goblin plumbing dynamite.
But how? Of all the... There's no way! Are you cheating?
You can't cheat if you never get caught.
You're hiding cards. I know it.
Where? Up my sleeves? I'm as naked as a pot roast. Just sit back and admit you got dexed hard. My ancestors invented gambling, you know?
Well, this blows toxic barge fumes. 2 days of this minimum power drift just to save a few otta. And all I have to keep me from void madness is rereading one of my 9 books or losing at cards against this brimstone ferret.
That and the dishes and laundry.
Shut up. Say, do we got any of those little toasted egg sandwiches left?
Nope. We're on a strict diet of canned snapper and dehydrated cabbage crisps until we take to port.
That's assuming I don't die of a sodium overdose, Dex. This being broke thing is getting old. Almost as old as your cabbage and fish-fueled flatulence. You think we got a payday coming anytime soon? Something more than just ends meat?
We could always take that advertising offer.
No. Hard no. I'll weave 1,000,000 lies for 1,000,000 half-rate products if it pays the bills, but I will not lower myself to propagating for them.
All I'm saying is, it's the biggest job we've ever been offered since... Well, ever since I got here.
A choice of my own that I continue to question. But no. As long as we're in my boat, we don't read ads that encourage people to sign up for military service. We're in peace times, Dex. At least we're supposed to be. Short of a few well-placed conspiracy zingers, there's nothing we can do to stop people from joining. But I just couldn't live with myself knowing that my voice was out there saying that was the best choice they could make. The fact that they even offered it to us freaks me out. Think about how much time we spend trying to spill their beans. Do they know something we don't?
Most people know a lot of stuff we don't know.
I'll eat oversalted snapper and cabbage chips for a year before I trust whatever they're up to. Even if it is just an ad campaign. Now shuffle and deal the cards. We're going double or nothing.
Music to my ears. Let's throw in scrubbing the toilet just to make it interesting.
Might as well. What do I have to lose?
Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
When the morning comes, the wagon is reloaded, camp is broken down, and the great Landrox is once again tethered as it sits patiently and obediently for the harness. You once again mount the wagon, and it continues its journey out of the clearing and past the old cliffs. The trees seem to thin slightly, and the signs of some wide-traveled paths can be seen, which the beast seems to gravitate towards on instinct. But the buzzing of insects is soon drowned out by a whirring noise, and the sound of voices shouting commands. A row of colorful darts slam into the back of the Landrox, and it takes off running as the wagon bucks and shakes behind it. There is an ambush, and whoever is pursuing you is coming fast.
We're being poached!
Okay!
The Landrox charges forward, moving with incredible speed as you hang tight in the wagon behind it. A group of humanoids wearing armor and helmets adorned with colorful stripes of paint large flowers and animal feathers can be seen approaching at a speed that rivals even the Landrocks. They ride in sets of two atop metal boards that hum with energy as they race hovering over the jungle landscape. They made their presence known by firing darts into the Landrocks, which didn't seem to slow it down, but you can clearly see they are loading more into long metal blowguns, ready to fire another round. Let's roll initiative.
I'm so ready to get Tony Hawk Pro Slayer up in this shit.
Fuck
Let's
me.
Go.
Poach Slayer.
Poach Slayer.
How did we do for initiatives?
A hot Douglas.
Anyone above 20?
I got a fat one.
Ooh. Anyone above a... I should roll for the enemies.
Well.
Cool. Great and good. Anyone above 15?
Darlu got an 18.
19.
Ooh. Are we going to get Gidgeon Skitchen up in this shit?
Anyone above 10?
11.
Hortense. And how about Lida?
6.
This many.
Very good. So this is the scene before you. These strange humanoids wearing very much Rufio-style armor. coming in 2x2s, riding these shitty hoverboards
boards
made out of
blue.
Boards of blue. And red and green. For those of you home who can't see it, these are light-up tech decks.
They're so good.
And we've got a little paper wagon with everyone riding behind the Landrocks.
I like how the enemies get these really cool tech deck hoverboards, and we got a piece of paper.
Fuck yeah.
I was just thinking about wagon.
That. Do we have a little piece of tape, too, that might help stick Hippo to head?
Oh, it's okay. All right, we'll know where it is. So they're coming in. They have blowguns that they are loading. They shot a few into the Landrocks to initiate the fight. And essentially, this will all be moving at the same speed. We're considered that everyone's kind of cruising at a generic speed. They can attempt to catch up. Some things might slow the Landrocks down or speed it up, but that'll be based on sliding forward.
It's impressive to see trees chasing us so aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving trees. Look at their legs. Look at them go.
So we're going to begin with Gidgel in the back of the wagon.
I would like it noted that we were not ambushed while I was acting captain.
New day, new captain. That's you, Lida.
It's a game plan, Lida. Quick.
Are we really discussing this right now?
No better time. You got to be able to make decisions quick. I know you're a child, but you do your best.
I'm not a child.
You're 8.
That's a full-grown goblin.
What?
All right. Darlu, support. Gidgel, try to get on one of these boards. Foe, do whatever you do. I don't know your abilities. Everyone who has range, range.
Having a command somewhat given, Gidgel, the turn is yours.
Okay. Is the vegetation around us supportive of the idea of me grabbing onto like a vine, right? So that would... slingshot me a little bit and then pendulum me onto one of these boards.
Interesting. Let's find out. Yes. I rolled a 96, so there is a perfect series of low-hanging vines not far overhead. And while the trajectory might be a little difficult at this speed, the vines are there.
It's like fucking Spider-Man 2 out here. You just got vines anywhere you need them to be.
And Indiana Jones' crystal skull. Plot vines.
Then I would like to use my bonus action to summon my astral arms.
Okay.
So once again, lava will spurt out from voids in the air and then shape into large mitts. And then I'm going to jump onto the vines and try and swing onto this blue board right here.
Okay. Let's count swinging speed as your movement speed. Sure. So first let's measure that out. 5, 10. So it looks like your distance is good. Why don't you start by rolling me an acrobatics check to deftly swing on the vine and shift your weight in just the right way?
That is a natural one.
Oh, no.
Okay. Why don't you give me a dexterity saving throw?
That is a natural 2.
Oh.
Beautiful.
That's rough.
So you manage to grab a low-hanging vine, give it a snap, and the whole fucking thing comes tumbling down right as you're preparing to leap off the back. It gets tangled up in the back struts of the wagon and the railing around the outside. And you don't even get very far off the wagon. You are now being dragged behind the wagon some 10 feet by this series of thick vines you've managed to get your hands on. just above the ground based on the mm-hmm. speed you're going. You still have an action.
Wait, you said by the wagon or by the...
The wagon, yes. You were exactly... Okay. That's exactly right.
Hmm. With my action, can I attempt to get back onto the wagon?
You can give me an athletics to try to climb your way back to the back of the wagon.
Mm. Or... Yeah, that sounds good.
Letting go will hurt a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to use my action to try and get back on the wagon.
Okay. Let's see an athletics check. I think I have to give you disadvantage.
Yeah, though, that's fine.
Based on the roles leading up to this shit show.
But since I have my astral arms, I'm using my wisdom instead of strength.
Correct.
And I'm trained. So that's another natural one.
Jesus fucking Christ, my dude. Ooh,
and with disadvantage, two natural ones.
No shit.
Wow.
No shit.
Wow. The ball was not dropped. It was kicked into a whole different fucking game.
That is brutal.
That's three out of four natural ones, baby.
Shit, dog.
The other one was a two.
I know. It was almost there.
We have found the bottom of the barrel.
And the following will well portray this series of ones. You start the battle by taking 10 bludgeoning damage as your body splats and reforms back into a humanoid shape, impacting the jungle ground. And you are now currently flying back on the ground away from the fight as one of the hoverboards is coming right at you, which will correspond on their turn.
Ugh.
That brings us to Daralu.
Daralu can't hardly watch what's happening here. This wagon is open topped?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Daralu takes out Orgrir's horn and takes in a big lung full of air and blows in it as hard as he can, creating a resonant sound through the jungle. As mist begins to pour out the front of it, I am going to use that to try to cast Minor Illusion to fill in gaps in the railing and give us some sort of obscurity or cover from oncoming shots.
Cool. I like that.
With the last resonant sound of the thundering horn, I am going to give Bardic Inspiration to Gidgel. Because I think he needs it.
Yep. Those scales need some tipping.
Yep. I am then going to crouch low and try to get what cover I can behind the boxes, the obscuring illusions, and anything else in the wagon.
I like that very much. Hortense, you are on the head holding the reins of this creature. You know it can keep running without you guiding it, but that's where you are for the fight.
Okay. I want to do the steady bonus action, steady aim bonus action for a next shot. I'm not sure if I should take a shot first or maybe I should, you know, also try to give some kind of verbal instruction to my lovely Bill. You know, I could say steady and have that be kind of like something we've trained together with about keeping it, you know, together for the sake of shooting stuff. I don't know if that could help the party. I'm not sure.
So why don't we do an animal handling check?
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that, it will dictate whether or not you can use steady aim this turn.
Cool. It's a total of 20.
That's very good. So you can, in fact, take steady aim this turn while balanced on the back of this creature as it is being very thoughtful of the fact that you are on its back, and this is not your first time shooting shots while riding Bill. So for your bonus action, you get to look down the barrel, take aim, and who are you targeting?
Ooh, red board.
Okay, go ahead and make your shot.
You know, I should have said this earlier, but I'm saying it now. Let's use the bow. I'm going to save that musket shot for later.
Okay, so I believe you have advantage from having taken steady aim.
I got a 9 and a 10. That's always fun. But the 10 plus 6, so it's 16.
16 just hits the front one's armor class.
Okay.
So go ahead and deal your damage plus sneak attack, I believe, because you had advantage to hit.
Yeah. Oh. Every time you get advantage? Aim.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Also, if an ally is adjacent.
12 plus 4. That's 16 again. Haha, math.
Beautiful. As you line up the shot, turning your bow sideways, all cool style, the arrow washes out and building up momentum in the direction it's facing, it goes through the throat of the frontmost rider on the red board and his body topples to the ground and spills into the distance.
Thus to poachers.
A good clean kill for Hortense. That brings us to the bad boys. They're going to do a little bit of riding checks to see how well they can move their little bikes forward, which are called airblades.
Ooh.
Oh, that's so cool. They're airblades.
Sick. The one that had the rider, the one specifically steering it, get killed, loses a ton of momentum as the other one attempts to take over. And then, oh good. There's a lot of random things that can happen in this jungle, let me tell you what.
Hell yeah.
So, the red one, as it shifts its weight and tries to get on the front, smoke starts pouring out of the sides of the air blade, and sparks shoot as it grinds against the trail and stone. And that one just kind of cracks and erupts as it starts to slowly pop and explode, left in the dust, the rider screaming in agony. And the frontmost of the green one, coming in from Queen South, is racing in quickly, and you realize that on this trail, there are some very clever traps laid out, made by Hortense in the past. And the very most front one jumps over what looks like a low-hanging kind of rope trap as the other one just takes it fully and immediately gets tangled up in a net and launched off the back of his bike. And with that, you're going to get three shots from blowguns at the group, specifically the three in the wagon.
Fun.
The first one's going to come in at Daralu. I'm taking into account a illusory cover bonus.
Sick.
That's a 22.
That is going to hit. My AC is 15 now.
This one's going to come in at foe.
Okay.
That's a miss as you duck down just below the illusory cusp of this cover. And the last one's coming in at Lita, which is a 24 to hit.
That is a hit.
Jesus Christ.
I need Daralu and Lita to roll me a constitution save as the toxins in the blowgun take hold.
15.
I've adopted Angelo's curse, a whopping one.
Woo.
This is a pretty low DC, so that's an unfortunate one.
Well, fuck me.
You both take 4 points of piercing damage, not a lot from the dart itself, but Daralu, you take a level of exhaustion.
Oh, no.
As the sleepy time bad juice makes its way into your system, strong enough for a Landrox, but made for a Daralu.
And to clarify, it is actually my curse. I rolled a one on initiative, and then it started spreading from there.
Yeah. Fuck.
Foe said we were safe from the curse.
I did. I did, and I lied.
And this air blade that's coming in at Gidgel is just going to try to take a melee attack as your body comes tumbling towards it. And it pulls out what looks like a kind of strange hooked blade and just buries it into your slime. That is a 23 to hit. Pretty good rolls for... bad damage rolls. 4 points of slashing damage as the air blade impacts with your flank. That brings us to Lita Bug.
Everyone stay on the defensive. We'll catch up.
Bull, says Daralu.
Lita is going to jump off of the wagon.
Okay, tell me more.
And race forward to catch up with Gidgel.
Or fall back.
Right, it's an easy catch-up considering that he's not moving now, and you're going that way quite quickly. Once you roll me in athletics to cleanly get off the wagon and land with your feet moving.
Can do.
That was a 9.
Not amazing, but enough for you to jump out without completely eating shit as you hit the ground. We'll say that only took 10 feet of your movement speed.
All right.
Running immediately away from the wagon, you quickly catch up with the tumbling form of Gidgel, the airblade coming right at you. What do you do next?
Lita punches her gauntlets together, creating an arc of electricity between them as I cast Thunder Wave.
Okay. That will also hit Gidgel, am I correct?
Yeah.
All right. Would you give me a con save, Gidgel? No disadvantage from being prone on con saves.
That is a 12.
Okay. What's your DC, Lita?
Fuck, what is my DC?
If you want, you can add Bardic Inspiration to that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You probably should.
That is a 17.
My spell save DC is 14.
All right. Both of these poachers fail horribly, so go ahead and give me your thunder damage. Should be 2d8 unless upcast.
10 thunder damage.
Okay.
So Gidgel takes 5, they take 10, and they're both flung 10 feet away.
Yes, exactly. And then I need you to immediately end your turn by making me a dexterity saving throw.
19.
Ooh.
Very good.
These breed dice. God damn.
They're all over the place in a good way.
The thunderous impact flings these two poachers off the back as they eat shit and tumble away, vanishing into the distance. And with just enough momentum from running, you manage to leap and land on the front end of the board. It, too, took some damage from the thunder wave, though, and you can feel under your feet cracks forming in it, but it seems to be somewhat operational.
And you blew enough of Gidgel that he is unconscious.
Brutal.
Exact damage.
I forgot that Gigil has no HP.
That brings us to Fo Kifkin.
Just because you can't see the stars doesn't mean they can't see you.
He raises the ring and brings down a moonbeam on the trajectory that this line of dudes is about to move through. Because they can't adjust quickly, they're just going to go right into it as the turn progresses.
So blue and red behind it?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So it's going to get summoned on their next turn. They're just going to have to save against going into this satellite projected laser.
Yep.
Very cool. Any bonus action or movement?
I am good, I think.
All right. Gigil, I need a death saving throw.
You want a natural one? I got a 3.
Hey! It's your highest roll all night.
You fail, which makes sense because your body is currently like a large mass of bubblegum stuck to the front of this board. Mm. Kind of tipping it down at a 45 degree angle as Lita tries to balance on top of it. It's moving much slower than the others.
I'm caught in the undercarriage.
Yeah. Darlu.
Darlu is going to move back into the wagon a little bit, closer toward where everybody is coming from.
And jumping out of.
Yeah. God. And is going to look at the lone rider on the Airblade, whose partner just got knocked off by the rope, the one at Queen South. He's going to point at the big dart in his side and said, "You missed the great Landrox, you blowgun idiot," and use vicious mockery on him.
Nice. Wisdom save, yes?
Yes.
I got a no good, very low bad.
Ooh. He's going to take 3 psychic damage and have disadvantage on his next attack roll.
Noted.
Turning quickly with as much cognizance as he can muster, Darlu points a finger out to the wiggly remains of Gigil and shouts, "Get it together, friend! We're not quite done yet!" And use healing word. For, maximum, so 7 HP back.
Nice.
The quicker picker-upper.
Hell yeah. Then I'm going to try to crouch down behind the illusion as much as possible.
Understood. Hortense.
Hello. We're looking good. We're doing great, guys. I'm so, so happy.
We're all so handsome.
So handsome. All right. Hortense will target the front rider on the Queen South closest board, fella. Okay.
Roll 2 hit, and you're doing a steady aim again?
Yes, I should probably just do that every time.
Why don't you give me another handle animal, because things are still a bit chaotic.
That's 17.
Great. You and Bill are clearly bonded.
Pow, pow. Got a Bill bond.
That's 22.
Yes, that hits.
Cool.
Give me that sweet sneak attacker.
13 damage.
13 damage is very good. Not enough to kill it, unless married with the 3 damage from a vicious mockery delivered just recently.
Ha!
As there is another cloud of smoke and crackling as this airblade eats shit, crashing into a nearby log, spilling this guy right on his big dumbass.
Get logged!
All right, and I assume you're not going to jump off as well. Tell me if I'm wrong here.
Me?
Yeah.
No! Y'all have fun.
So thanks to some wackiness on this round's dice rolls, right before their turn, some random shit happens. One of which is there is a log coming up that on your next turn you will need to try to help the Landrox avoid in some way. You can see it coming. It is massive, an old tree that just kind of fell in the path. The yellow board seems to have a serious malfunction as its speed cuts in half. That creature is going to be drugged back a little bit. Not so much that he doesn't still hit a moonbeam, but for future turns will slow down. And in the back of the wagon, as there are several trees hanging overhead and things are getting impacted on nearby trees from crashing vessels, causing some vibration through the branches, a massive beehive falls. So that brings it to the actual poacher's turn. I'm going to start with 3 deck saves from the fellows on Queens North.
Hey, you know, Moonbeam can only move about 5 feet around, but if they're moving in it.
Also, I believe it's a constitution save for Moonbeam.
Constitution, thank you. All right, your DC is 14. Is that accurate?
My DC, 13.
13. Success, fail, success. Wow.
Hey.
So go ahead and give me that sweet 2d10 radiant.
Can do. Probably should have had this ready. 2 and 7 for a total of 9.
Nice. All right. All three of those riders are looking incredibly bad. The very front one is going to make a piloting check to see if he can keep control while temporarily blinded from the moonbeam.
Okay. Rider Fry.
It's enough. He's not going to get to choose where he's moving this turn. He's just going to kind of go a random direction, but he doesn't fall off. So as they continue pursuing, they're going to load some more blowguns and attempt to shoot them. One of them is going to turn to the side, the one on yellow particularly, and try to shoot a blowgun at Lita, who's just some 10 feet away.
While they're blowing loads, does it look like they're trying to get on the wagon?
Or at least get close enough right now to hit with weapons. That is a hit on Lita. I need another con save.
That was a fatty natty.
Oh,
of course it was.
Which makes that a 24.
She's stealing all your fucking juju, man.
It's all good, baby.
This poacher tranquilizer is nothing compared to the beef broths back on the midden. You are well acclimated.
You call this poison?
Two of them are going to take shots, taking into account that there is cover at the two in the wagon.
Oh, God, they're vaccinating me.
Starting with foe. That's a miss on Darlu. Does a 19 hit foe?
19? Yes.
Okay. You're going to take 4 points of piercing, and I need a constitution save. I'm not that high.
Do. I've got a good con.
Hell yes.
But I got a shitty roll.
The total's important, though.
That is 8.
8 is exactly the DC.
Hey! To not.
It's a level of exhaustion. It's a pretty cruel thing to make too high of a DC.
Yeah.
So you do avoid that. Just take the 4 damage. The other two shoot darts into the back of the Landrox, which slows it down 10 feet.
Oh, no.
That brings us to Lita. You are in control of a lopsided and damaged airblade.
All right. I have 2 questions. One, do I need to scoop Gigil up onto it?
I mean, you don't have to, but it will affect your ability to control this thing that there's a heavy glob on the front.
Yeah. And then how does movement work?
You're going to give me an intelligence check to steer it or dexterity.
All right.
You are not trained in this particular kind of land vehicle.
Okay. If I scoop up Gigil onto the board next to me, will that take my action?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do that. I believe Gigil is conscious now, so Lita's going to reach down, offering out an arm, and try to pull him up onto the board.
Okay. Just give me an athletics check to see how well you manage to grip and lift. While scooching about. Is that another 20?
No, that is 13 plus 2 is a 15.
More than enough. You get pulled prone up onto the board, now not being dragged into the ground, and you two are hovering forward. You still have a bonus action?
I've got you, buddy.
It's just like you planned. We've taken a board.
And now the fun begins. I'm going to try to pilot this board forward and try to urge it to go a little faster.
Okay, give me an intelligence check.
10.
All right, you move it forward 5 feet.
How are you supposed to pilot anything in gravity?
Lita then raises one of her gauntlets and Iris stops interfacing with it, leaving and firing a force bolt at the lone rider to our left.
Okay, yellow. Roll to hit.
18 to hit?
Yes, indeed.
Force bolt strikes this rider for 4 force damage.
Not a huge amount of damage, but unfortunately, he also took a moonbeam full to the face last turn, which means him and the board he rode in on go up in smoke.
Good job, Iris!
Beep boop.
And now I leave it to the rest of my companions.
That brings us to Foe.
Foe, realizing that the moonbeam wasn't quite enough to deal with this boardsman, he's going to go ahead and lift his hand up, at which point a phantom forest fire begins to settle in on the jungle. As embers fall from the leaves, they coalesce as burning fireflies and fly into the eyes and face of the person piloting the board. He's going to have to roll me a constitution saving throw, and if he fails, he's going to move in a random direction.
So this is summon swarm. Or the
it is exactly infestation.
Cool. That's fantastic.
I rolled a total of 9.
That is not going to pass. My boy's got to move in a random direction and also takes 1d6 fire damage. 2.
2 fire damage. And let's see how gracefully he hits the ground. Not great.
Ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
He manages to keep his feet under him as he steps from the racing board onto the ground, which immediately flings past him, leaving him far back in the dust, confused and scratching at his eyes.
I don't believe I wouldn't want to use any of my bonus actions right now, and I don't really have much else I can do, so he's just going to go ahead and look menacing.
Gigil, you are aboard. Aboard.
What now, Captain?
Anything you can do to knock them off their boards, but first priority is keeping safe.
Did these poachers perhaps leave anything behind on this airblade?
That's going to be a really slim chance, but I'll give you the roll. 97.
They left 97 things behind.
There is, in fact, what looks like tubular mounts that you would stick the blowgun into for when you're steering and not firing. And as only one of them used his blowgun, the other one is still there, loaded and ready to go. You have one single shot of a blowgun.
Blow him.
I will. I guess I do expel air. Okay.
Just pick a hole.
Yeah. Just wash by liquid.
I love the idea of you putting it up to your mouth, and your version of expelling air is just like drawing your mouth back and forcing it forward like a fucking trampoline.
Those little wind guns, also known as a fart cannon.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard of those.
Gidgel's going to take the blowgun, press it up against his formed lips. And then you can watch as a large bubble comes in from the horn at his stomach and then rapidly, like a rat in a maze, take weird paths until it then just almost like a wrecking ball, swing backwards and then forward out towards the blowgun, expelling the dart.
Yeah.
It's like when a fart gets trapped in your butt cheeks and sneaks its way up past your scrotum.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead and roll to hit with the blowgun versus one of the poachers.
Call that a bag bubbler.
That was a natural one, baby.
God damn it.
As you are using a weapon that you've never used before and trying to manipulate air in a way that is not intended for a lung-wielding individual, the first thing required for expelling this air is pulling it in. And in doing so, the dart launches into your mouth, which sinks down into your torso. And you see like kind of a black liquid just sort of spread through you. Please roll me a constitution save.
I have advantage against poison.
Hey!
Nice. Thank Christ.
Now you'll get two natural.
Yeah, you think I can do it?
I think I can. Here comes a 4 and a 5.
Ooh, a 3 and a 7.
Jesus Christ!
Is that the
what
total?
The hell?
So I have advantage. So the 7 becomes a 6.
You take a level of exhaustion as the poison infiltrates your biome. Oh. What a good combat for Gigil.
This is why you don't take a negative constitution.
This is why you take a negative constitution.
All right, Darlu.
Darlu is... Max Hobbs is shocked at what just happened. Darlu knows exactly what he needs to do. Scrambling to the queen's north of the wagon, he is going to draw his longbow back and try to take off the last rider facing that direction.
Cool. Give me shots. Shot.
Oh, yes. 19.
That hits, baby.
Shots, 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 shots.
I think my soul spoke.
Everybody. For 6 damage.
Okay. Against blue?
Against blue. Northern blue.
All right.
Which is a great cheese.
Does not quite kill him, but it does cause him to be taken off balance as he's trying to maintain the control that was lost after the other dude got swarmed away. So this one is going to lose a ton of momentum and fall behind.
Do us all a favor and jump off.
And Hortense, what I need from you is some kind of skill that will help Bill overcome this fallen tree up ahead.
Skill Bill.
So yeah, we'll say that this is involved in some kind of trap I've already set up. So Hortense will be using her survival skill to attempt to,
this is a preemptive skill check. Yeah.
There's always some kind of safe way to pass through the area. And she's going to try to make sure she gets that done right. You know, memory plus, performance, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gone. Far.
It's far away.
I'm leaving.
Log's gone.
Roll it again.
It's incredible. It's 14, which is a normal amount.
14. Okay. This log in particular is, in fact, part of the disguise of a pit trap that is underneath it. And reaching out and grabbing a nearby rope, you yank it. The rope helps. The pit trap tips the log in somewhat, yet the Landrock still collides with it partially. There is a huge buck as the wagon lifts into the air. The two of you are kind of spilled onto your ass. I need Lita to make me one more intelligence check to control this air blade.
10.
And I rolled for the two remaining riders, a 1 and a 3. So there is the sound of 3 explosive impacts. That is the sound of 3 air blades colliding with a log. 2 of them are driven by poachers, and 1 of them is driven by Lita. The Landrox breaks through the log like a football player charging onto the field through a banner. And having made short work of the attacking poachers, the Landrox, tired and riddled with darts, begins to slow down just as the landscape starts to descend into a steep hill. Suddenly, the beast is sliding and grinding down the hill, flat on its stomach, as the wagon bucks and kicks in every direction as Lita and Gidgel come tumbling down the hill behind you. Its straps are starting to tear and the wheels of the wagon are breaking, and as the Landrox slides to a stop at the base of the hill, a deep, bassy snoring fills the air as it drifts into a deepened chemical slumber. As you clear the dust from your eyes and rub the blood from your wounds filled with dirt, you look up to see the outskirts of a small encampment with a simple pavilion tent, a large fire pit, rows and rows of long wooden troughs filled with various chunks of meat and fruit, and a menagerie of bizarre exotic animals, looking up at you in confusion.
All right, we made it.
If you're in Kane and you're in the market for a depleted core, come on down to J. Schwindel's Blown Core Emporium. These babies come in all shapes and sizes, and just because they can't power an aether ship anymore doesn't mean they aren't full of life-changing opportunities. Great for farming equipment, personal land transport, or small alchemical laboratories. Our wreck hunting crew is the best in the biz, and we guarantee our depleted cores will get the job done. These babies start at 900, that's right, I said 900 order. And if you mention this commercial when you come in, you could be taking a pre-owned depleted core home today for up to 30% lower prices than our competitors. J. Schwindel's Blown Core Emporium. Sometimes partial power is more than enough.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey, all you cuties. Me mid-roll, Etsu mid-roll.
If you're a fan of the show and a musician and you have music that you'd like to have featured during the meta of Season 3, you can reach out to admin@slapdashstudios.com to discuss having us use your tracks with credit during the segments with Dex and Khan. We always love promoting new music, especially if it fits the theme of the show. I'd like to say a thank you and congratulations to Wolf of the Borderline and Zombie Scordo on the Discord for reaching the rank of Pentadrone Enforcer and being two of our new admins. It's a really big community on that Discord, and we need all the help we can get. And they've been members of the community for a long time, and I couldn't be happier. A huge thank you to Sam Frost for coming back to join us in Season 3. We hope you're just as excited to hear her play again as we were to have her at the table. If you'd like to see the character sheets for our Season 3 characters, they're on the Patreon. So maybe now's the perfect chance to sign up and get all the content from Seasons 1 and 2 as well. But that's enough out of me. Let's get you back to the action.
Hungry for a late-night, flavor-blasted meal on the go, fixed up old school? For low-price, fast, and delicious drive-thru grub, nothing beats Taco Bell. Some things change and get better, but our menu is still the same, and we accept no modifications. 'Cause you can't fix something if it's already perfect. Try our new specials like the Dos Gauntlet Burrito, the Chicken Cheddar Gorgita Crunch, Cinnamon Crits, and the Crunch Math Supreme. It's okay to look back if the view kicks ass. Taco Bell. Less is moss.
After a high-speed battle with a group of poachers, clearly underestimating your ability to fuck shit up, in their pursuit of claiming the rare Landrox as a prize, you have come crashing to a halt on the outskirts of an encampment you were told about. It's modest, but looks to be made by hands adept at surviving in the wilderness. There's water nearby, there are trees against the back to help cast shade and block strong winds, but what you can't seem to get over is all of the animals. A bizarre menagerie of strange beasts in all shapes and sizes, just milling about the encampment. Massive toads, colorful lizards, large shaggy horned oxen, and more birds than you can count. Many seem to be drinking water or taking food out of the troughs, but more are just hanging out in the shade. And at the sight of Hortense, a dozen of them come lumbering towards you and give her massive forehead bonks and lick her face. They sniff at you curiously, tasting the air around you and staring with unblinking eyes. But one thing you don't see anywhere is a cage or a pen. These creatures seem to collect here of their own accord. And based on how they interact with Hortense, you're guessing it's more than just the food that keeps them coming back.
Ah, so they do have rations here.
That's a joke, and I'll accept that as a joke.
Good. You're not off base. I'm not here to harm your critters. Are all of these beasts from here?
Yes, this is a preserve of sorts.
So you don't bring them from other places and drop them here. You just found them and gathered them all in a sinkhole?
There's a precarious balance to any ecosystem, and we do not remove the animals from this one. We do not add new animals.
That seems like a good idea. Which one's your least favorite?
Ted.
Ted. Fucking Ted.
Just cuts to a capybara staring at you.
It's got like a knife in his hand.
A particular shaggy three-eyed boar with spider legs near the base of a tree looks over with a kind of malicious stare towards Hortense as it eats a large yellow piece of rotten fruit.
Yeah, that one gives me trouble.
Ah, Ted. You look like a shite, Ted.
You see that Foe is standing some feet away from the perimeter of the encampment.
Not a beastie boy there.
No, I love me some animals. Usually dogs like me, but the rest, they don't do too kindly with curses. So I tend to keep my distance until they're nice and comfortable.
I see a few birds to be more than happy to eat some fireflies.
Too spicy, I imagine.
Ah, not adventurous eaters. That's all right.
As noted, there are animals of all shapes and sizes that have come to interact with you and sniff the air around you. I would like each of you to describe for me the creature that interacts with you, give it a name, and tell us how that interaction goes.
The slab-horned mouflon is not exactly a kind creature. But when it sees foe Kithkin, its natural predilection for territoriality is inflamed. It starts with a modest charge and a slam into the hip, which sends foe sprawling onto the ground. But every time foe tries to get back up with a laugh, a chuckle, and an outstretched hand, it knocks him right back on his ass again. Over and over and over again. You watch this happen over the course of about 45 minutes until eventually foe stops trying, simply lying down on his back, waiting for the thing to eventually trample him to death. But this, it turns out, is a courtship process.
Mm.
Aww.
Now you're married.
This slabhorn, so named because of the large single slab of carotenous matter instead of two discrete pointed horns, begins resting on top of him to establish further dominance.
Cute.
After a brief exchange of nips at his fingers, it finally allows him to pet. It does little to improve his relationship with the other animals, though, as all of them watch on with a kind of unease common to most creatures you see in foe's presence, including some of you.
The Spanlongo has the body and neck of a giraffe, the head of a leopard, and the legs, wings, and smell of the flamingo. Lyda does not initially see it sneaking up on her as she makes her way over to the trough, taking a generous double handful of feed, looking around to see if nobody's noticed, just as the giant head and neck loom downwards and begin to eat it from her hands.
Hey, that's mine!
And as it begins to lift upwards, she grabs onto it to try to get her animal feed back and is lifted tens of feet into the air and is then dangling precariously.
Oh, that's a bit high.
Fives of tens of feet.
Foe lying on the ground says, let's split the difference. Then we can be somewhere in the middle.
Hortense steps away from the group towards the edge of the body of water. And there's a cluster of what look kind of like frog eggs. She leans forward and grasps one as many of them flit away. And you realize that they were actually the eyes of a lizard creature, a roe lizard specifically. And as they flee, their eyes deflate into little pinpricks. And they all swim underwater, except for the one that she grabbed. Its eyes, it looks like they've overinflated and they're getting kind of like wrinkly and weird. She pours a medicine on them and tends to the creature that way.
Aww. I love roe lizard.
That's adorable.
As Gigil is exploring the camp, he goes over to a sunny corner of the modest living quarters. There, a bundle of lint, a dust slinky, unravels the wooliest of boas, yawns and opens its mouth. There are no fangs. There is the equivalent of baleen, just rows and rows of long keratin. As this thing takes a breath in, it grows twice in size, slinks over to Gigil. There's something about the temperature of him that is attractive. It begins to climb, finds the decorative pigment that Gigil uses to exaggerate his definition. And after climbing on top of him, it begins to shimmy like some snakes do to try and bury themselves.
Mm. Big fluffy noodle.
This is unsatisfactory to Arlene, the dust slinky.
I love her.
Because you can't sink into me. That's deadly.
But you can become a wig.
That's correct.
And a friend.
And a friend.
Thank you for being a wig.
The Queen's Western Crudgemard is a girthy slug lizard with sticky toes and the glands of a silkworm on its ass. It's an affectionate beast, but leaves Dara enclosed in webbing as it tries to hug all of his limbs. He struggles to get free, which only serves to enclose him in the beast's fibers more, which are stronger than they look. Daralu has an idea and begins to slowly braid them with fingers that can barely move. This motion of pulling at these strands and gently removing them from the lizard's butt seems to be comforting to the Crudgemard, which starts to coo. Dara harmonizes with it as it sings.
Wow. Like a magician's handkerchief.
Correct. The Queen's Western Crudgemard.
It's a good fucking name.
Thank you.
I have a modest proposal. If we were to work together on a venture, I could find that you'd see yourselves rather enwealthened by it. We have a problem here. There's an encampment nearby, the poachers that came after us, and they've been causing me plenty of trouble, of course. This is a nature preserve. Poachers are the enemy. If you folks were to help me out, I cannot pay you in coin, but I can promise you that you can salvage from their ship whatever you might need for your own damaged vessel.
Well, I'd be more than happy to help you go bash them blow buddies, but ultimately the choice is up to the captain, not me.
What do you say, Bug?
Well, on that note, I don't think I'm captain anymore.
Oh.
Oh, is it my turn again?
Seems that way.
Well, if we could lick our wounds here for a moment, recover a bit, I think we'd be in fighting shape to go take them on. Assuming that you've got some sort of a plan in mind that we could hear first.
Hmm. Well, as far as staying here for a moment, there are plenty of cots available from the various teams that come in here. It is usually more than just me. And I do have a bit of a plan.
Bits better than none, if you'd like to share.
Wait, so you're asking us to knock off some folks, and your reward for us is their stuff?
I've got nothing else for you, honestly, but if you, you know, if you would take my vow of an IOU, I could...
I mean, where'd you get the blamba?
This is both a family heirloom and, honestly, part of my grandmother's soul, so I cannot part with it.
Oh, could we take this? Darlu holds up a very round cat with chicken feet.
Will you?
Oh, no. So... if we take that on the ship, you're just going to raise it as a pet.
And? I like it. Look at its stupid little legs.
I believe you don't mean any harm, but I feel that would fall under the poaching blanket.
I already gave it a name, though. It's Harry Scary Gary.
Bold to assume it doesn't mean any harm.
Darlu kisses the cat chicken.
If I had that cat chicken and two rats, I'd have something.
I've heard just about enough of your very creative sausages.
Firm no on taking any creatures with you or harming any creatures or general malfeasance on any of the living beings on this island.
Unless, of course, they were the poachers. Them, fair game.
You beat me to it.
Aha.
This is a dead or alive situation.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, seems that way.
They've done enough killing. I think they can handle their own.
Seeing as that we will need parts to save and salvage our ship, I think that the trade is worthwhile. It's something we'd want to do anyway, your word or not.
I mean, it's not really a trade. She already helped us out. Got us over here. Otherwise, we would have just been wandering around the jungle until they shot us in the back and then stole our ship out from under us.
This is true.
Frankly, we owe you a debt, so I'll man do it.
Excellent.
Gizel, your thoughts?
We get to do the raiding instead this time.
Oh, damn right we do.
I see. Now, there is a touch of LUQ legalities that must be noted. Is this, in fact, a preserve? And are these, in fact, poachers? In the maps that we were given, this was an unlabeled, unmarked island.
I don't know who designed your map, but the GIF believe that this is a sacred sanctuary.
Then out of curiosity, would the GIF, or you as a representative, be willing to sign a particular letter that you wrote, saying that this is a legal quest, and therefore we are entitled to pay in accordance with our current rank?
Foe is saying exactly what I wanted.
Didn't mean to step on your toes.
No, it's fine. Pads. I didn't know whether it was fine to directly go and say, give us a quest. Please.
Please. I feel comfortable signing a document. I, as I stated before, could not pay in any actual currency. But if you just need someone to say that this is a legal quest, I feel comfortable.
It's all just paperwork. Sometimes governments just need somebody to tell them what to do.
I bloody know it.
So, after arranging some paperwork, basically saying that Hortense, in representation of the Gift People, is hiring you to help remove the Grimrock poachers from this micro island. That is the job. And you learn through talking throughout the night that Hortense's people spent money to try to remove the name from this island from nearby maps. As if the price is right, the ether cartographers will turn a blind eye to certain things to help it not draw attention from further poaching. And they come in shifts and help deal with the exotic and endangered animals. And it has currently been Hortense's shift for the past some weeks. So the paperwork is squared away. You all get a full night's rest as you make your plans for the reverse raid in the morning.
In their struggles to find some form of governance that is both functional and agreeable, the members of this crew have allotted me a modest period of time as captain. I have managed to facilitate a much-needed reprieve for Sir Troth, so that they and the Heart Corps can recover from damages suffered during the raid, which, as a reminder, occurred during a period of time I was not captain. According to Sir Troth, this environment here is more than satisfactory for the recoupment. My next responsibility on this resupply mission was to explore the jungle for any usable resources to replenish our dwindling supply. We encountered a boisterous being intent on protecting what they claimed to be a nature preserve. Negotiations were successful, but not without a fair share of sarcasm, cockiness, and disassociation. After we agreed to visit the camp of our new acquaintance, a day and a half of travel away, I was surprised to find resistance to my intentions of open communications about logistics and scheduling between all crew members, whether present or absent. Nonetheless, a convenient resolution was accomplished. In the night, we encountered a wandering hex, and even they found a peaceful conclusion. The crew is safe, and exploration is underway. What more could they want out of a successful leader? And now that I am no longer acting captain, we are once again under attack. We are pursued by poachers. And in what I assume is a decision ruled by obsessive curiosity, our acting captain Lydda has ordered me to separate from the main unit and leap onto our assailants to commandeer a tandem vessel. It has been repeatedly stated that in moments of crisis like these, there should be no argument about the captain's judgment and orders must be executed. Despite my instantaneous assessment that this order is unnecessarily precarious, I will comply. How bad could it be if the crew were to be led around by Lydda's hyperfixated coveting and expeditious spite? How bad could it truly be?
I didn't get anything written down for that one. I was too busy running skateboard adventure.
We're gonna get them. It's all right. I got lots.
Good. I am stoked.
Yeah. Well, that was 1/7 of a long rest.
Does anybody want to jump out on a favorite moment before I start listing off episode names?
Other than the fucking tech decks.
God, they were so good.
Yeah, my favorite moment was pulling the battery blocker out of the tech deck so they light up and then putting them down with miniatures on them.
I also liked, I loved Gigil's just fucking jelly adventure.
Mm. Can we pour one out for all the ones?
Oh my God.
Jesus. Well, that actually brings me to the first of my names here. My suggestion for names for this episode starts with Gigil gets road hauled.
Yeah. For a dude with no bones or meat, you beefed it hard.
Oh, yeah.
Sleepy time land rocks. Queen for a day. Taken aboard. Tubular mount.
Tubular mount.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fart cannon.
Mm. Wow.
And then the last two are menagerie and a modest proposal.
Tubular mount, a modest proposal. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. That's a good combo.
The slightly dockered one that I wrote down was a modest and wealthening.
All right. I am so
What about tubular mount, the and wealthening?
I'm sold.
Not to be confused with an unwealthening.
Yes, which is what happened like two episodes ago.
There was no loot from this one because all of the air blades got smashed.
It's okay. We're going to their camp. We'll get you another one. I promise.
Oh, we'll take everything we can get our hands on.
Even their hands.
Even their teeth.
Ooh.
Their mouth hands.
It's a no bones day.
So we're going with tubular mounts, the unwealthening. Okay, cool.
And all of you saw that at the beginning of the episode.
Good. This journal, we didn't get last journal either. Who's last journal?
Oh, I assume
Troth was last one.
Troth for last journal.
I think Gidgel fits for this one.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But it's always when I'm in a bad situation, isn't it? Sounds good to me.
But it's usually when you're in control of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. This one was a little opposite.
I feel like when you're not in a bad situation, you're just kind of like boredly watching us do shit you don't understand. And then when you're in a bad situation, you're like, this might have been a mistake.
I see the engagement. I see how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So we got Troth, Gidgel, perfect. I think that's everything. I want to thank Bree Golden for doing the maps. She didn't do the map on this one. This is a beautiful like fold-out thing. Where did you get this?
It's a hex kit. I also have one that's a Starscape that from the same company that we can use for future airspace battles.
Oh, sick.
Oh, nice. Well, maybe we should contact them and get some sponsorship going because I'm tired of giving free advertisement.
Or at least get a little kiss.
Pay me.
Kisses.
I also want to thank Hediger the Editor for editing this episode. I am really glad to not be running a game right now. Just deliriously happy. There's so much in my life that I love, but what I love most is that Law's running this at the moment.
We're also very full of hamburgers.
We ate so much burgers.
I got a gut full of cluckers and I'm ready to roll.
I could go for another burger.
That's absolutely free. You are welcome to the spicy BLT chicken if you want.
The spicy bread sandwich.
It's basically a bread sandwich.
And we won't say who we got it from because we're not sponsored.
We are not sponsored, exactly.
From Burgeoning Burgers, get your meat.
That's a good burger logo. Get your meat.
Realizing that Law and I were just uncomfortable with taking money from the company too much, I feel like deciding we were going to get lunches every time we recorded was just this like perfect loophole of let's buy some dumb bullshit like a bunch of sushi that we could never afford otherwise. Mm.
But don't you think that the folks giving the Patreon money, they would love to know that it's going to delicious lunches?
Exactly. And I already felt bad about the fact that we can't pay y'all more. So the idea that we're paying you in food is just very
next cool. Time we should just like as a cast read off the Patreon names while eating sushi.
Oh, that sounds like Zach's fucking nightmare.
If you are currently giving us Patreon money, I want you to understand that you are basically just funding us for an excuse to play D&D and eat good food. That's it. That's all this is, and we've duped you into liking it. Sorry, losers.
Provide you with a pleasant good time and lots of butt jokes.
Until the next slapdash grift, we wish you luck.